Bienvenidos, welcome, and thank you for joining us for Season 3, Episode 1 of the Panafamilia podcast with Eduardo and Nicole, where we discuss our experience relocating to and raising our three young children here in Panama, share our journey of building our new farm and home here in Central America, and let you know what we're learning along the way. We're glad you're here. Vaminos! Hey everybody, we're back.
Live from the dome. We are live. I don't know how much different it sounds, but we are inside the our bedroom dome right now, recording our first episode.
Domisode. We've been playing around with some new.
Today, dome in front of everything. dome. But yeah, we're starting season three. Trying to get to 7 seasons. That's when we get, what do you call it?
I don't know. You said this last time. It's the same thing Seinfeld has?
Syndication. Syndicated? Trying to get syndicated.
I don't even think podcasts can get syndicated.
Yeah. But yeah, we're here at the dome right now.
We moved into the dome. We've been here for about a week now. We got our shipping container from California a few weeks ago. And yeah, we're all hooked up. And running as far as water and power.
Yeah. So, what our last episode that we did, where obviously we were at Andrea's.
Yeah.
At the hotel.
And we said the next episode will be recording live here, and we are.
Yeah. So we can just give you a little update of what's happened.
Yeah, over the last few weeks.
Between that episode and this episode.
So day one after we recorded. Day one after.
So.
Go ahead.
Basically, the last couple months have been pretty busy because we were at the part of the dome where it was like a lot of intricate work, and we were running up and back and forth between David and here getting supplies for like electrical, plumbing, just odds and ends, stuff like that, that it's better to go get in David. And then so while we're working on that, we also had a shipping container arrive here, and then
which we were like originally concerned it was gonna come like way too late because we were like, oh, we're not gonna have the stuff that we want, the mattresses, blah blah blah, but it ended up coming like just in time, like when we had a completed bedroom basically.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, well, the last couple months have been very stressful because of the shipping container, because we didn't know exactly when it was going to arrive.
It took
like,
it sat in Houston for 6 weeks, so we were never sure when it was going to leave. It could have it could have got here 4 weeks before it actually arrived.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, so yeah. I mean going to Vietnam back, that's just boring. There's nothing really exciting to talk about there, but the whole lingering thing was the shipping container, and luckily it got pushed back. It was like, hopefully they push it back so it gives us more time to finish the dome, or at least to finish
one
dome.
Yeah, because it was a lot of like the tiles, the floor, the interior, plaster, that kind of stuff needed to be complete before we could like fill up a room with boxes.
And then it got to the point where like, oh, we need the shipping container to get here because I was supposed to. Where was I going?
We wanted to move in before you left for
what country was it?
For Paraguay.
Oh, for Paraguay. Yeah, because then I was like, oh, this freaking shipping container is going to get here.
We thought it would arrive.
When I was in Paraguay.
Mm-hmm. It got here the day after he got back.
Yeah, I literally got here the day after I got back.
Mm-hmm.
I got off the plane. I was like, oh, I can ease on into life in Panama. And nope, shipping container.
And it was like a super, super rainy weekend where it had been raining like it was so all muddy. Day. All day for like 3 days straight.
Yeah. So the shipping container came at the perfect time. It lasted long enough at the ports that the guys actually got all the domes done. We got all the flooring done and everything.
Yeah, that was all complete.
And then it got pushed back far enough to where I was actually here.
Yes. And it was a good experience. I mean, they arrived with like 5 helpers, which I didn't expect. The guy showed up with like his family plus like 4 guys to help move stuff, and they're like professional movers, so they like knew how to, and he brought a truck because we couldn't drive a semi truck down our farm road.
It's way too muddy.
Way too muddy and too small, I think. Too small. Yeah. So we had to unload at the road into this other guy, the owner of the shipping company's Silverado. They did, and me and some other people stayed down here and then like took everything that they unloaded and organized it and packed it up in the boys' closet because they have a really big closet, so it's basically like another storage room.
The location of our dome on our farm is I don't want to say the double-edged sword, but there's some pros like privacy, mm-hmm. and you know, freedom, and you know, we're freedom. and there's some cons where some stuff like moving in is a little more complicated because you're basically driving through an old pasture that's turned into a road.
We can have a road that's like not so muddy, like we'll get some rocks right? But it's still like, yeah, I mean, it's like a couple hundred yards down a muddy road.
We'll get to the other
multiple people have like got stuck in the road. There was a giant sand truck that like slid and slammed into our fence. Our door and window guy got stuck in in the road leaving a couple weeks ago.
The shipping container guy who's in charge of the move. I didn't see it. I wish I did. But he was like behind the truck.
The truck was driving back down the road with a load of stuff.
And then he was driving a Silverado half-ton truck. And he started like slipping down. And then the boss started yelling at his worker
and running after him,
trying to slow him down. And it was so muddy that he slipped and fell on his back. And it was just...
Because when he showed up back down here for, like, the third load or whatever, I was like, why is his back all muddy? Like, what happened? And then the other guy... I think the other guy said he fell out of the bed.
We first thought he fell out of the bed, but I was like, man, how's he still walking? That's a pretty... But he actually, like, fell chasing down his... worker. But yeah, that was pretty funny.
And it didn't rain. It like stopped raining for like that hour. Like it only took like 45 minutes to an hour to unload everything, which was like super fast. And then as soon as everything was in the house, like it started raining. So it was just like very perfectly orchestrated by God to like somehow like work out.
Yeah.
Even with all the weird, you know, variables there.
Yeah. And a little weather update. It was like dry for like a week or two. And we're like, what the heck? And then ever since then, it's just like, it's literally rained every day.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a lot. Rained a lot. Some days it rains way more than other days, but we at least get some sort of rain in the evenings. So yeah, the shipping container was pretty cool to see our stuff.
Yeah, get all our stuff.
Yeah. And it was like, oh, our mattress and... oh, my shortboard, and just you start seeing stuff from our old house in Turlock, and it was like,
yeah, it's just crazy that it was like there and now it's here.
Yeah, yeah. I remember when we loaded it up into the shipping container, or sorry, the shipping
storage unit
in Turlock.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, like, we haven't used really anything because we don't have anywhere to put anything. All we were really waiting for was two mattresses, and like the weed eater. And that's it. Like, everything else is still packed up because our house is still pretty, like, construction zone-y.
Every day gets less and less.
And we have no furniture, so we don't have anywhere to, like, oh, let me take out my books and put them on the bookshelf. Oh, there's no bookshelf. Or, like, we don't have a table. We don't even really have kitchen cabinets as of right now, so.
Yeah, we're trying to balance construction, raising a family, having a marriage, having a job.
Yeah, and we're just trying to, like, yeah, we're not gonna kill ourselves to, like, make the house look perfect in a very short amount of time. Like, we're just taking it easy.
We're have pretty what we patient. Need. And
we're trying to, yeah, just take it slow.
Yeah, I mean, I told Nicole, we were going to, like, Davie, like, twice. And did we ever go three times a week?
Mm-hmm. I'm sure we did.
Two to three times a week. And I was just like, I just want to go back to once a week.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll just get what we need on a weekly basis. And hopefully once we're done with all like the furniture and stuff like that, like we just go once every few weeks.
For groceries.
Right,
for groceries. And then that's where we pick up like packages that we order.
Because we have a Subaru Forester and we only have so much space.
Yeah, so it's like we'll go one day like, okay, we'll get this today and then tomorrow. And we got our washing machine yesterday, which was a big deal, and got our clothesline built. The guys built me a nice little like T post.
Old school.
Clothesline. Yeah. So I did like, our washing machine's really big. We got a nice like, it's not fancy, but it's like simple and like big and sturdy. And I was able to wash our clothes finally after like 7 days of not washing clothes, you know, and like we have three boys who are like playing in the dirt and mud all day long. So it's just like three outfits.
I was going deep into the archives. Every day.
Eddie was wearing his like basketball jerseys.
Yeah. I was going deep into the archives of clothing.
Yeah. I looked like a homeless person by the end of the week. So here's a few other things that we had to like, over the last like 2 weeks, I guess, like complete before we could move in. So this was like, so our plan was like, okay, we'll be out by end of September. And then it was like, oh my gosh, are we not, is it not going to be ready? And then my, our landlord sent us a text like, hey, kind of like, when are you moving out? And they've been like so wonderful.
They are the best landlords I've ever
had. Yeah, they're wonderful. So
they're wonderful.
So she sent us, so I was like, oh, we're hoping 1 week or 1 or 2 weeks and we should like be able to move over. And she was like, I can't do 2 weeks. We have some guests coming. Basically said like, you need to get out, you know, but not in that way.
And
it like gave us like, I feel like the push.
She said it like very nicely.
No, she said it nicely. She was like, we have some guests coming. We need some time to clean, because it is, it's a hotel. It's like a four, what would you call it? Four suite, like, hotel.
Yeah, it's a hotel, and we're coming into to the dry season, the quote-unquote tourist season. So I think a lot of it, too, was they just want to start
getting ready.
Getting ready. Yeah, like, they want to use like October.
Get us out of there to get ready.
Because I think November's when they start showing up, all the Canadians.
Yeah, so so that really gave us the push. I think, like, someone saying, like, hey, you can't live here anymore. So then we told our
construction guy.
What's the name for him? Our
contractor?
Contractor, yeah. We told Yvonne, our contractor, like, hey, we've got 7 days. Like, this is what we need. We need our outdoor shower. We need to finish the well house for the water.
Everything else we're doing, just we're just focused on
this. Yeah, just stop. We need to get our outdoor kitchen, like, working. And then we barely just got our solar panels installed, like, what, like 4 days before we moved in?
It was like 3 or 4 days.
That's a whole story. I don't know if maybe we can spend another episode talking about why we chose solar. But quickly, I guess you want to just mention why we decided to go that instead of hooking up to the grid. The
high protein version of it is basically, since our farm is so, or since our house is so far away from the main road, the cord.
The cable
for power from the road to our house was going to be very expensive, mainly because of the distance. It's a
distance thing. Yeah,
it's like a thick cable. Much, yeah. I don't know what it was, like $5 or something like that a foot, or I forgot what it was. But anyways, based off the distance is where it just got super expensive, to the point where. We started looking. We were already looking into solar as a backup system.
As a backup, yeah.
And then once we heard this quote just for the cable, we were like, let's get a quote for the solar. And we just thought it was a better long-term decision to
go
solar.
A few other things. Even if we did like connect our house and be prepared for the local energy company, it's not a guarantee that you'll get it anytime soon. Like, we could have waited 2 months, 3 months. We could have waited up. Some people wait up to a year to get power. So we would have been living here with no power, potentially. Also, the power here is very unreliable. Like we've mentioned before, there's power outages, scheduled and non-scheduled, just random ones all the time. So we would have been spending all this money to hook up to, like, a non-reliable power source that we don't even know when we would get it. Yeah. So adding up all those other expenses, just it made sense to put all that money towards a very reliable solar system that would just give us reliable power all the time.
Literally took us like 2 weeks.
What did?
To install the panels.
Oh, so we got in touch with the guy.
Yeah.
Our contractor and his team built the stands for it, because we obviously don't have a roof to put them on, so they're behind our house. Then the guy showed up and installed everything with his team in one day.
Yeah.
And
the thing that took the longest time was the stands. Mm-hmm. And other than that, oh, the other reason too, we had to wait like an extra week for the inverter.
To for him to get it at his office the part. Or whatever.
Yeah. But other than that, like, the guy literally installed everything, the panels.
Yeah. And then our electrician obviously had to,
like, all the wiring.
Run some stuff out to the panels and do that. And they worked together with that. But it was a very, like, pretty simple process. And, I mean, you were in contact with them, but I feel like we didn't really have much to do. Like, they kind of took care of it all themselves, which was great. And, you know, we paid them. And
yeah, I started a group chat and just said, if you guys got any questions between the our electrician and our contractor, I just said, ask the solar guy. And he basically gave him everything he wanted to be done before he showed up, and they did it.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, that was cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it'd be cool to do maybe a shorter episode just on...
No, for sure. I think we
do. Why we chose that and all the details, because it's... And we've loved it, and Eddie's, like, really into, like, keeping track of it, obviously, and noting, like, what is pulling what. So anyways, that happened, I think, only... It was, like, on a Thursday, and we moved in on Saturday night, right? Or Wednesday?
Yeah, he installed it, like, Thursday or Wednesday.
Yeah. And so...
Then, yeah.
That was just in the nick of time. The outdoor shower, they, like, got that in. We lived here. We slept here for 2 nights without any water. And we were going back and forth to the hotel to take showers at night and still moving our stuff over.
Yeah.
So we would just come here and sleep since we had our mattresses and stuff. And so that was kind of fun. But then after those 2 days, they finished the well house, which has, like, our well, our water tank, the water pump with the pressure valve.
How fast? How long did they put that thing up?
Well, they had the frame, they had the bottom part of it up for a while, and then we were like, we got to finish it, and I think they
We lost a week of work to the panels, to the stands
for they
the
all panel. Just, yeah, everyone disappeared for a week because they were
at the
guy's house. Yeah. Yeah.
but they got that up pretty quickly.
Yeah, so they got it up, they did the interior plaster, they like
wired it, everything.
Yeah, yeah. And so then they built us. We already had, like, the platform and everything ready for the outdoor bathroom. They just had to, like, build a little shower for us, like a stand and stuff.
I had, like, an improvised plan for water that luckily we didn't have to implement.
Uh-huh. What was it?
It was, like, the extra tank was just filled with water.
Oh, like, bring it over here or something? Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah. Like, literally got it done.
Yeah, and then we had this guy who's, like, a special water system guy from this town come and, like, set up the
pump and
the pump that pumps water to the house, like, on demand. You know, it's a...
Yeah.
However that works.
Need a sensor, though, according to everyone.
Oh, in the tank, yeah. So we have a fairly small tank. We could talk about our water system in a different episode, too, but we have a fairly small tank, so our water isn't sitting there. So we have to run the well... right now there's no sensor in it, so Eddie has to go out there a few times a day and turn it on. But it's also good because it gives us, and we're learning, like, okay, how much are we using at night when we do all the dishes and take showers?
It's I think it's 750 gallon tank.
Mm-hmm.
We have 1,000 gallon tank and a 750 gallon tank.
Okay.
And
it's the smaller one. Yeah. So, I mean, that's how much water we're using. Yeah. And we're also still using water, like, to make... The guys are still using it to, like...
Make concrete. Clean stuff.
Yeah. Spray stuff down. I mean, there's still a lot of stuff going on. So, so we got that finished. So, the first few nights, we... After those two that we didn't have power, we had our, like, outdoor shower... outside, like, under the stars with the cow. Eddie had moved the cows to the paddock in front of our house, so it was really cool to, like, see them out in front of the house all the time.
The timing was perfect because they were supposed to go to that paddock.
Yeah,
I didn't do it on purpose. I just did it.
But, like, Eddie's been talking about this dream he has of, like, waking up in the morning and drinking his coffee and looking at his cows for, like, as long as we've been married, you know, like, that's, like, his dream. And, like, watching that happen was, like, really cool. We didn't really have a moment, but I was watching you do that.
I was just, like, staring out the window.
Yeah. No, when you were, like, standing at the edge of the porch with your coffee cup in the morning.
Yeah. We don't really embrace the emotional moments here. We kind of
That's not true.
No, I mean, like,
I
sort of, but I feel like it's always so busy, like, when there's, oh, we just left Turlock, we're on a flight to Panama.
Yeah.
It's so rushed that we don't have a time to, like,
to really think about it. Afterwards, I feel like we talk about it.
Yeah, we talk about it, but at the moment, it's not like I'm breaking down in tears.
Like having a ceremony.
Yeah, I know. I just like went out there, sipped my coffee, and just watching it. I'm like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
What's for breakfast?
Yeah. So there was a couple nights before we were able to get like our little outdoor shower wall up, where I was like looking at the moon and you could see all the fireflies in our pastures. Like,
another pro of living out in the middle of nowhere is we can take showers, outdoor showers with no walls.
Yeah,
and not worry about anyone seeing
it. I mean, it felt weird because it just like, it's not normal to like just, you know, be nude outside.
Yeah.
Without like being like, ooh, someone can see, but like no one can see that I know unless there's, you know, was someone out there.
Someone hiding in the grass.
And a lot of times it's raining at that time of night too, so you're like taking a shower in the rain. Which is funny. But we have a little light out there now, and now we have our walls up, and they're made out of like a local hardwood with like some bamboo, and it looks really cool.
It really fits the vibe of the house.
Yeah, and it's nice to add some like different material other than, you know, the concrete and the aircrete.
Yeah.
So that's finished. So we have, I guess the bathroom too. We were like, we need a toilet inside. That was another last minute like, because we have an outdoor bathroom that has a working toilet, but in the middle of the night,
we're not going
out there. It's pitch black. Like, who knows what's slithering around out there.
Yeah. I've never seen a snake on our property. There was once a snake in the dome when it was like halfway built.
Not halfway. It was like complete, but there was still like wood and stuff everywhere.
Yeah, the whole frame was...
the floor was still dirt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they found a snake in it, and I just know they're out there. I mean, it's we're in their environment.
And other stuff, too.
And other stuff.
Just snakes.
Yeah.
I'm so excited to share that I'm teaming up with my good friend Kate of Katie Bug Farms in California to make my beloved lip balms and botanical oils this holiday season. They will be available to purchase in the USA. We will be offering local pickup in the Turlock Modesto area and shipping for other parts of the US. For those of you who don't live in Turlock or Modesto or nearby, you will be able to ship it to your locations. You'll be able to purchase Tinted Lip and Cheek Balm, my Softening Lip Balm, and or my Golden Garden Face and Body Oil beginning November 1st. You'll be able to purchase it through my website, nourishfarmpanama.com. If you go to my website, I'll leave the link in the show notes. You can subscribe to my newsletter so you can stay up to date with all the details and get a reminder for when our first launch is. We'll be doing a November launch and a December launch. I'm just really excited to be able to offer these to all of you in the USA again. And now we'll get back to the show. The day before, I think we moved in, they really hurriedly finish the floor in the bathroom inside and put in a toilet. And the reason we haven't done the bathroom inside is because it's been a little complicated because there's like a bathtub frame that has to be built, and it's kind of been on, it was started and then it got put on the back burner. So it's just like this, this like incomplete bathroom, but it has a toilet. So it's
at night we can just go inside the dome.
There's no lights in it though. So it gets pretty dark at night. So I have a little nightlight shining in there. That was another, like last minute thing. Then they got the outdoor kitchen. We have a sink, a counter. We brought a barbecue over. So that's all we cook on is just our barbecue. We don't have a stove or an oven. I bake bread in the barbecue and we cook all our food on the little side burner. The sink we have now out there is bigger than the one in the hotel. So like, we're not really adjusting. If anything, we're
making it easier,
taking a step up, even though it may sound like things are inconvenient, but like to me
the space
is so much better knowing it's ours. Just not having to run back and forth, like we talked about we've been talking about, like, man, we're getting to bed so early. Like, the kids are getting to bed early. It doesn't feel like the nights, the evenings routine's, like, dragging on, you know, because the kids wake up super early, so we go to bed early. And we kind of realized, like, how much time, like, driving back and forth all the time was taking up. Like, even though it's only a 10, 12-minute drive from where the hotel is, doing that three times a day and, like, then mixing that in with, like, having to cook and clean over there and get kids down for naps and, like, do fun family stuff and, like, I don't know, it just, like, yeah, sucked a lot of our time having to go back and forth. So just being here for everything just makes it easier and more challenging at the same time. Just
but even, like,
having the kids around all the construction stuff all the time, we're still kind of working out some kinks with that, you know, but that's not going to be forever.
Yeah, I mean, for me, like, the last few weeks before we moved in, I was always like, oh, I got to go get this. And then it was like, oh, I'm going to go get it, come back to the farm, drop it off, and then go back to the hotel to go
have breakfast or whatever.
But yeah. And then our first night here was I was a little nervous because of just the air conditioning. We don't have air conditioners right now. I wasn't worried about, like,
we don't have ceiling fans, we don't have air conditioners. We have two floor fans. That's it.
So I was like, all right, we got power, so I bought two floor fans for the first night, and I was like,
he was so worried he wasn't going to be able to sleep good. And, I mean, yeah. I was kind of worried, too. Like, it was going to be really hot and stuffy because that's how it usually is. Usually, if there's one tiny fan and, like, no AC, it's miserable.
Yeah, because I think of the... You know? I would always think of the power outages where we would still have enough power for the fans and it was just still, like, hot wherever we were at, whether it was Andrea's or the beach house. It was always, like... Even with this fan, it just doesn't feel cool here.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, man, like, we'll see how it goes. But we got power and, you know, whatever. So then it was kind of, it was one of the few days it didn't actually rain. So it was a little warmer that evening.
Yeah, it hadn't rained, but it got, like, cloudy.
Yeah, it got cloudy, but it was kind of, anyways.
It was just a normal kind of, you know, humid Panama day.
Yeah, and then, like, when we were reading to the kids, I was getting a little hot. And I was like, oh, man, I'm not going to sleep tonight. And then the kids finally went down.
And I stayed over there in their room because I always stay there and give Jeannie mama milk and, like, sing to them and, like, kind of, you know, wait for them to fall asleep. And then I walk over to our dome. And here's King Eduardo on his big bed with the fan on, and it feels like
it felt so nice
in here.
And it just, like, like the biggest, like, it's inside the dome during the day, it still doesn't get it's still noticeably cooler than outside.
Yes,
I would say
it's, in certain area. I mean, it kind of follows the sun,
yeah,
almost, but the windows
in the sun. If the sun gets in there, it gets a little warmer, but you notice. The temperature difference between being outside and inside.
Yes.
And then I guess the biggest thing once the sun goes down is just getting, like, the cool, because, like, it does eventually get cool outside.
Get the cool air outside in here. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah. So it eventually does get cool outside. So you just start bringing in the air from the outside into the dome and it feels really nice.
So we put the floor fan right in front of the window. And it basically, like, it's like an AC. It just blows the cold air from outside.
And by, like, 8...
Into the room. Yeah.
The sun goes down at 6:30, and by 8:30, it was, like, cool in the room.
Like, putting a blanket on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then that was the first night. That was a warmer night. Some of these past couple nights, like, it's been, like, cold.
Yeah. There was one night where it was noticeably warmer. Like, I didn't want to put the sheet on.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's been, and I mean, part of it, like you've said, is like we're out here on, you know, a farm and it cools down more than, like,
in town.
Being next to a bunch of houses.
Yeah, there's literally no one around us. It's just like open pasture.
Yeah.
And we're on top of, like, a little hill, so we get the breeze.
Elevated.
There's no jungle, like, stopping the wind.
Yeah, there's not tons of trees all surrounding the house. And, like, the rooms have, like, tons of windows.
Yeah.
So, like, in our room here, we have, like, four windows open with a fan blowing the air. And then in the boys' room, They have a lot of windows. We usually only keep like one open and then a fan blowing on them, but they get nice and cool.
And I'm so glad we lived in other places in Panama before we like decided to really like design the house, because like we learned living at the beach house that like windows are like very important.
So important. And it just like the box shape with like one window in a room just isn't conducive to like you have to have an AC.
No, you have to. You
and
have
then
to.
It's on all the time. And
if the
it's
wind
just,
if
yeah.
the wind doesn't come from that the right direction, like that room is never gonna get cool.
Yeah, it's just. I mean, we've had ACs on just like full blast, and you're still just like sweating. And the cinder blocks at night that are roasting in the sun all day, it's just like being inside an oven. They're just they like just,
yeah.
It's like a pizza oven.
That was like the first when Nicole told me about the. Aircrete and Turlock, I was kind of like, okay, kooky.
Mm-hmm.
And then once we lived like a month into at the beach house, yeah. I was like, so you're saying this thing
isn't gonna get that hot?
Get that hot? Yeah. And like, it really does not get that hot.
Yeah.
The
main dome too, like even during the day when it's like the warmest part of the day, we usually have the main dome just like we've had like the floor fan in there and like one window open.
It's a good 10 degrees. Cooler.
And it, you walk in, sometimes you're like, is there an AC on in here? Because it's super high, so the hot air has the most place to go, right? Because it's super high. And then it has the most protection because it's surrounded by two other domes. So it's not getting tons of direct
sunlight
also. And then our room, I would say, would probably get the warmest. But even so, yesterday from 1:30 to 2:30, which is usually a pretty warm time of day, I laid on our bed with the windows open, no fan at all, and I didn't sweat. Like, I took a little nap, and I wasn't hot.
12 to 4 are, like, really hot.
Yeah, just like in Turlock during the summer. That's, like, you know, the time you don't go outside. Like,
yeah.
1 to 4 or whatever.
Yeah.
So, as... There's usually a little breeze out here, which is nice. I mean, part of it is our location on the farm. But, like, the domes and the aircrete, like, really, like, they really work. They really make a difference. And it's,
yeah,
like, I feel like it's a really good... The only thing... So, something we have been having issues with, I guess we could talk about, is water. The domes... The paint that we originally chose wasn't good enough to, like, seal all the little, like... minuscule cracks and stuff, because concrete is always the final stucco is, you
yeah.
know, it has little cracks in it, and water always finds a way through. And so we had the whole thing painted, and we can see leaks. Like, we can see the plaster on the inside getting wet, and like literal water like dripping down the walls. And we're like, okay, obviously this is a problem. And
yeah.
for a minute, like, we got like, oh my gosh, like
what did we do?
Was this a horrible idea?
Yeah.
It rains here. Like, we have to have a house that's protected from the rain. Like,
yeah.
we have to be prepared for that. It's not something that we can kind of like, oh, it'll be okay, it'll be the dry season.
No, it rains
soon.
Like nine
yeah.
months out of the year is what Yvonne
yeah.
always says. Nine
yeah.
months out of the year, it's gonna rain.
Yeah. So we figured out
it's like a sealant
thing that they've been kind of going around finding little cracks and painting over it, and it's like almost a rubbery thing that fills in the cracks, and then a different type of paint.
We bought like a stronger paint
that's
it's like
a latex kind of deal, right?
Yeah.
But it's been raining so much that they haven't been able to like reapply it fully, so like we're still seeing a lot of dark spots inside.
So like the one
yeah.
dome that is painted, the kids don't, like, you don't see as many water spots anymore.
Not quite as many, yeah. But it's not even finished painted. And
yeah.
there's not two coats.
Yeah, it's just, they haven't had a chance to paint.
Yeah.
And then the other water issue is the windows when it's really windy. Like, for the most part, the rainstorms are, like, not super windy.
Yeah.
But then you'll get these, like, really windy rainstorms, and whatever direction the wind is going, that window's gonna get so wet.
Yeah. And so the water drips a little bit through the actual windows at the bottom even when they're closed, But then the guy who installed the windows didn't, like, seal underneath the windows properly, so it was, like, dripping under the frame of the window. So we fixed that. We were able to fix that problem for the most part, so it's not dripping under. But it's still, like, when the rain's over, we have to go to those windows that were getting wet and, like, wipe them down.
That's something we're going to have to figure out something
to do. If we want to get some sort of protective curtain to go over the outside. Because we have these big, like, eaves that go over them, but they're still, like, the windows are so long that it hits the bottom. The rain
still hits the bottom. It's all based on when you can be in one dome. I mean, like, our dome right now, there's 4 or 5 windows. And all four windows can be just, like, not fine. Wet.
Yeah.
And then there'll be the one window where the wind's hitting at the right spot, and it's just,
like... Yeah, soaked.
Soaked.
Yeah.
So
they'll never get dirty, I guess.
Yeah.
So that... There was that day that Jude had his friend over, and it was raining really hard, and it was blowing, and there was, like, 4 windows that
and the wind changes within, like, an hour, like, every 15 minutes. That
was dripping minutes. And so there was, like, water dripping through the window onto the floor, so there were, like, puddles on the tile. And then I think it was our room in the cap, the wind was blowing through the vents at the top and dripping all over our bed. So we've dropped the cap down lower now, so
the space between the cap and the roof was oh, it's just too much.
Yeah. I mean, right now, it's like, if you look at it from the outside, there's, like, barely any space left, but
and we haven't
that's
had
how it has to be.
That's how it has to be.
So I think once we get all the sealant and, like, the 2 layers of paint on, it should be good for the outside. And then the windows are just going to be kind of like an ongoing thing until we can... you know, get a better solution. But it shouldn't drip as much anymore because, like I said, they sealed underneath. But that was our choice to get, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why people have, like, these long tin roofs that go 3 feet out over the side of their house for that reason, you know. But we chose to get custom-made, like, wooden windows, and they look nice, but it's just...
the price you pay.
It is what it is. But we were just, that one day, I was just like, oh my gosh, we can't do this all the time. Like,
that
every
was,
time it rains.
That was the second night, I think?
It was the second day. It was like last Sunday. Yeah.
It was the second day. Yeah, because...
I was like, we can't do this every time we have a rainstorm. Like, no. Let around, like, crazy people drying everything. Get the towels! Move the towels! Wring the towels out!
And we didn't have, like, a washer.
Oh my gosh. Oh, and... Speaking of, like... water, the day we got the water set up, this guy was here, like, all day working in the well house trying to figure out.
Yep.
And then it was, like, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and we hear, like, okay, like, he's done, you know. And then everyone's kind of, like, doing stuff around, and, like, I'm like, okay, I wonder, like, when he's gonna turn it on, or, like, how is this gonna work. And then I don't know, he didn't even give us, like, a heads up or anything. I guess he just turned it on out there. And all of a sudden, Jude goes, "Mommy, mommy, mommy, look." And I look over, and there's this huge pipe in the kitchen area where the fridge is supposed to go, that's shooting water out, like a fire hydrant, just shooting water out into the house, like, all over the floor. And I was just like, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do. I grabbed a beach towel and tried to put it in front, but it didn't work. And so one of the guys ran over and, like, slammed his hand against it and was able to hold it. And then I look in the bathroom because I still hear water, and there's another faucet in there that was for the shower that didn't have a cap on it that's shooting water out too. And then Eddie said, like, just the day before, luckily he had turned off the faucets in the battery room for the water heater or something. I don't know, but, like, everything else luckily was okay. But it took a good 5 minutes to get for the water to, like, stop coming, because Jude had to run out to you to tell him to turn it off. But, you know, it takes water a while to stop.
Yeah.
But it would took, like, 6 giant beach towels to, like, wipe everything up.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you pick up a bunch of water on the floor? Like, there's really no way to, unless you have, like, a shop vac. And
that was Monday. Yeah, that was Monday. That was gonna be our first night not going back to the hotel.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I was just at that moment, I was like, "Are you, like, is this ever gonna be?" Like, are we just going to keep having these giant, crazy things? You know, like, because the day before, it was, like, water from the rainstorm. And then that day, it was water from the pipes. And I was like, this was a bad choice. Like, you know, you have those moments where you're just like, why are we even doing this?
Yeah, like, it's okay to have those moments.
And then...
I was at the well house, and I just hear Jude yelling at me, turn the water off. And then I start yelling at the guy who's at the well house to turn the water off. I'm like, what is going on? And I go back over there, and I just see...
You had just gone back, too, because he was at the other place trying to get the tracker fixed.
Today was one of the... That day was one of those days where I was, like, a chick with my head cut off running back between...
All these, yeah.
Like, the Ferreteria, the hardware store, and the
trying to get our car fixed so we could move it over... Our other car fixed so we could move it here. Our second car fixed,
yeah. And it was just... Oh,
and then he was like, the water was off and everything was fine, quote unquote, but there's still water everywhere. And he's like, all right, I'm going to go back and check on the mechanic. And I was like, what? Like, leave me here with this?
Well, I told the mechanic 15 minutes.
Yeah, I know. It was just like, it was just one of those
things. To be honest, I literally thought about leaving the country at that point. I was like, you know what? Nicole can deal with it. She can have the rights to the property. She can sell it.
And meet me somewhere.
Go meet her somewhere. Don't I'm
freaking.
I was just like, oh, but it was like it was funny because I was like, I went back into the not funny, funny in hindsight. I went back into the dome, and Nicole's really frazzled.
And yeah, like, I wasn't handling the situation very well, and I think part of it was just everything.
And there's nothing wrong with like no, you know? She was handling how a normal human being is supposed to handle it. She's very frazzled, but I noticed the guys had it under control. Like, I was like, okay, Henry...
Well, but I had to clean it up. I wasn't going to expect them to clean up all the
no,
water.
No, I know. So I was like, okay, Henry and Luis have the water stopped, and they're going to figure out what...
They immediately just went and got their, like, PVC glue yeah, and I was their like, caps, okay. And they fixed it right away. Yeah.
And then I was like, at this point, like... Luckily, they were still here, yes. And then so I was like, okay, well, I need to go back to the mechanic... Like, I really needed to go back. So I went back, and then I was with the mechanic, and then I was there for, like, I don't know, 20 minutes.
I think it was a little longer.
Maybe 30 to 45.
You got back probably 45 minutes to an hour. No, because you came back with the pizza.
No, I didn't. I came back just before the pizza.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was probably 30 minutes to 45 minutes. So then whatever we were trying to do with the car, didn't work, so I was like, okay, hey, hang out here, figure out what you gotta do. I'm gonna run back home because I gotta see how everything's going. So then I come back, like, thinking I'm coming back to, like, divorce papers and selling papers, like, why have we moved down here? Like, just like, this is just ruining our world. And I just come down here, and Nicole's got the biggest smile in the world, and she's just like, oh, we're okay, baby. And she's just like watering her plants. She's like, doo, 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 doo. Like, yeah, we're good now. We got it all figured out.
The kids are like playing in the water.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, so can I go back to my kids? She's like, yeah, baby, go ahead. Go back. It's okay. She's like, go get the pizza while you're there. Just like,
I don't even remember.
And she, I think she might have like, just like, she was just like, I was like, how'd you go from like, I'd never seen like her like this, like, frazzled to like she was just like happy as a clam, just like, oh baby, I'm just watering my plants, got my hose lift, the water's going, the kids are playing in the water. And I was like, kind of like, is she gonna kill me tonight? Like, did she like finally like lose it? Like,
did she lose it?
And it was just funny. It was just like, it's
complete just, 180.
And yeah. She was like, oh yeah, Luis and Henry already plugged it up, we're good to go.
Yeah, so they fixed everything, they turned the water back on, and I was like really nervous. They were like, turn the water back on, and I was like, are you sure? Like, it's not gonna drip out of some other chute. I was just expecting it to shoot out of like every hole in the house at that point.
Yeah, me too. I really was.
I was like, please don't, like, I was just waiting for when they turned it on for it to just be like pshoo 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 pshoo. But everything was fine, and then they like finished cleaning up and left, and then I turned on the hose outside and started like rinsing some stuff off, and then I was like, oh, the outdoor kitchen sink works, I better do these dishes. And so I'm like doing dishes, the boys are playing in the water, there's like a nice breeze, I'm looking at the cows, our dog's like laying next to me sleeping, and like everything was just like all of a sudden like just, you know, perfect in that moment. And it's just so like you say, what have you been saying? The range of human emotions or the...
Oh, the...
It's just the quickness that, like, you can go from, like, one thing to another.
Yeah, duality of man just helped.
Yeah, so it was fine. And then he came home with pizza. It was pizza night.
That I was, like...
It was just a really nice evening. And that was our first night where we had water. And we had already been here two nights. Because the first couple nights, you know, were a little, like, weird. We're, like, out here. It's kind of...
I showed up to the pizza joint that day. And I was, like... I literally, like... Because, like, they know who we are. I mean, you know, we're friends. At the we go... And I usually, like, text it in and then pick it up. And I showed up, like, right when it opened up. And I was, like, hey, Karina, can I just order... You know, what I order. She's like, yeah, but, you know, and I was like, I just want to sit here and drink a beer. And I just told her what happened. She's like, and I told her and Gabrielle, the pizza maker.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, man, yeah, have a beer. And I just sat there drinking a beer.
Good for you.
Well, you had your moment with the hose, okay?
Okay. Yeah. My moment with the hose.
But yeah, then I came back and it was really nice. It's actually really cold that night. And
yeah, it was really cool that night. Really fresh. And
we had no like rainstorm come through, like a huge rainstorm. So like we didn't have to deal with the rain.
The rain at night. No, luckily it usually doesn't rain at night. So we don't have to deal with all that stuff at nighttime. It has been a bit of an adjustment, like going from like being like in this little tiny hotel room, like all of us in one tiny bedroom at night, locked up tight, to like out, you know, I don't know, it just feels very like open and vulnerable and exposed out here. Yeah, I mean, we don't even have a couple trees around us really. There's a few trees, but not many trees around the dome to like give us some sort of protection. I don't know. I just like, now it feels fine, but it was just this weird like mental thing that where it's just like, oh, we're just out here. Like anything, anyone could just, you know, show up or whatever at any moment.
It's so quiet.
I mean, you're just alone.
It's so dark.
You're not, I mean, the road's right there. You can see a street light if you look hard enough, but like...
We're like a quarter mile from the road.
Yeah, it's like super dark. It's just crickets and like nature noises. It's amazing. It's beautiful. Moonlight.
Like to picture, like, we're at the end of the road inside our property. Like, there's only two houses or three houses past our road.
Past our house?
Past our house.
Like, if you were to keep driving down the main road that you turn off to get to our farm, there's just a couple more houses, and then it's just kind of like a bumpy road all the way out to the beach.
Yeah.
But you turn off the main road and come, you know, like we've said, like a quarter mile down our little muddy, like, fenced-in farm road, and our house is down here.
And I wouldn't have it any other way. It's like amazing.
So we've been just like so happy to finally be here. It's just like such a amazing feeling. It's obviously not, it's not perfect, but it's like, it's really all that like we've dreamed of in envisioning all of this. And it's not even complete. I mean, there's still work to be done. In the garage, the laundry room, our kitchen, our bathroom inside, like, is not done. But it just feels so good to be, like, here in this home that we've, you know, been just dreaming up and working on and waiting for. And on our farm. Like, not just in the home, but, like, on our farm, too. Enjoying the land, enjoying...
Yeah, we have a lot of projects outside the dome that we... want to tackle.
Yeah, and that'll come in time, but just knowing that like we're here now and we're enjoying just the peace and the beauty out here, it just feels so good. I mean, we don't have, like we said, we don't have much furniture yet, so that's something, like, literally all we ever sit on are like
stools,
wooden boards, the floor, little tiny camping chairs. And so when we went to the beach today, it was really nice. But they have just, like, wooden tables and benches there, too. And I was like, oh, I'm just so tired of sitting on a piece of wood.
Yeah.
Until you get to bed at night, it's just, like, that's all we have. Wood or, like, a slab of concrete outside.
Yeah.
And we're trying to figure out a solution for, there's a lot of stray dogs. And, like, we have fencing, but the fencing is for cattle. Dogs can just walk right under the bottom of it. Yeah. So we're thinking about doing like a smaller fence just around the dome to, would also help with the kids not like being able to like run everywhere all the time, give them a little bit of a border, but also keep the dogs out without having to like secure a larger area, I guess. Because they come right up to our patio and they come over here at night and like jump onto the counter outside, even though we don't leave food out. We have our dog, but I keep her inside when we leave because I don't want her to like get in a fight with a random dog, yeah, or get like fleas or whatever. So yeah, we're learning here, and the only way we can really learn and know like what we need to like change and adjust and stuff is by just like being here and observing and, mm-hmm, but yeah, we're really happy.
Observing is fun. That day we had the big rainstorm. There's a creek that runs.
Oh my gosh.
It was like, it was probably one of the harder rainstorms that I've seen.
Well, and it was so long too, right? Probably like, what, 3 hours straight?
Yeah. So we have this big creek that goes through our property, and it's pretty good amount of water. Probably like
during the rainy season.
During the rainy season, water, you know, yeah, it's a good amount of water. And I don't know what I was doing. I was just walking, and then I looked out
behind the house,
and I just looked back, and the water line was like completely up to like the fence line.
It was to a point where we've never been able to see it from the house.
Yeah,
and we could see it clearly.
There's like a little beach down there that we always thought, oh, that'd be a good, if we were cleaning up, that could be a cool place to hang out.
Yeah,
it was completely flooded.
Completely covered, yeah, like rushing brown like water,
yeah,
over it.
Yeah, yeah, river, yeah, water. And it was just like, oh yeah, we're always inside either the beach house or the apartment that we never see. We've never
been here when it's been a big storm,
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, yeah, because what's it called? We moved some. We made those dams last dry season, and then after one rainstorm, I was like, did someone move our rocks? And I was like, no, after, know, I'm like, oh no, it was the water that was just running so fast.
Yeah.
Because it also opened up one of the mouths at one of the places we built dams. But like, it was just, yeah, like, yeah, like Nicole says, like living here and observing.
Yeah, because like, I was like, I want to put my garden kind of down there. And it was close. It came up close to where I want to put my garden. I don't know if it would ever reach the garden. I mean, maybe if it was back down by the next morning. It's not like, yeah, it stays up there. It, yeah, was just during that time.
Yeah, it's like a flash flood, I guess.
But I was like, well, now I don't know, like, if what if that happens and floods out the garden or something. So it's just things like that that, like, yeah, we won't know until we're like here during all different sorts of situations.
On the creek is basically, we own both sides of the creek. So we have like these little islands on the other side of the creek.
Oh yeah.
That we always like talked about, like, what do we do with that? What do we do with that? Uh-huh. And we've talked about like growing coffee because it's in a very shady area. And then after I saw that, like a couple days later, I told him, I was like, well, so much for planting something there. Cause like,
I mean, if it only comes up for a minute and then goes down, it might still be okay as long as the plants aren't little, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I like, what do you think would happen? Like it would tear them down?
Oh, I just think it would like tear smash them down. Him. Smash them.
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, so, I don't know, like Nicole said, it's like, it's not perfect, it's not a utopia. Hopefully we never paint it as a utopia, but we're trying to get as close to our utopia.
Yeah.
That we can.
Just like, I mean, that's how I felt with our farm in Turlock. Like, it was our little island of paradise, you know, even though we had crazy challenges there with animals and whatever,
yeah,
life stuff. Like, that was our perfect little peaceful place there in the middle of Turlock. So,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. That's basically it. Like,
yeah. We're trying to create that dream that we have for this place here slowly. And, like, living here was, like, the first step. And, like, accomplishing that is a really, really cool deal. And
every day has gotten, like, more and more, like, homey.
Yeah, feeling. Like, it feels, it like today it felt really cool to be able to come back here after the beach.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we're going home. And every night, yeah, it's just like nice and cozy getting into bed and listening to the crickets and having barely any lights on. And
that's what we wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Just being out in the middle of nowhere. We're like, in Central America.
We don't feel like, I don't feel like we're far away from people, but in the grand scheme of like, yeah, like with the world, like we really are just kind of like out there.
Yeah, we are. Like, we live in a very small town that's very...
not close to anything big and like hours away, you know, multiple hours away from like the large city, Panama City. And, yeah. Like it's just very, it's funny.
Because like today we went to the beach and it was just like a perfect day. We rolled up around, we got to around 10 and it was like warm. The waves were really nice and it's just empty. Just it was really empty today. And like I'm just like I caught like 7-8 waves today and they were all really nice waves. And when I come in with my surfboard, I see the kids on the boogie boards and Nicole, and I eventually go help Nicole with the kids, and we come in and I get the ceviche from our friend Karen's restaurant and some beers, and I'm sitting there in the coli and
Karen,
beach.
He's a 30-year-old Panamanian man. Yeah. Named Karen.
Yeah, Kadeem.
Let's not think that it's like a old white lady or
something. Yeah. So like I get some ceviche and I'm sitting there in the coli and drinking a beer, and I just tell Nicole, it's like, how is this place so empty? Like this is like it's unbelievable sometimes.
Yeah.
It's literally like I cannot believe it. Like I was telling her like just the people from our town should be flocking to this place.
Yeah,
every
just
weekend.
Even it's just surprising that the people from town aren't there. It's not like we're expecting everyone in the world to be there, but even just like the people we know that live here up the mountain in San Felix, like, why are they coming to the beach to chill on a Sunday afternoon? You know.
And Nicole's like, I hope it stays like this because it's really nice.
I mean, yeah, I'm not going to question it too much because I don't like going to crowded beaches. You know, who does? Maybe some people. I don't know, but party people.
But yeah. So it's what we wanted.
Yeah.
A little farmhouse out by the beach.
It was fun coming back, being all sandy, cooking lunch, you know, showering off in our outdoor shower from the sand. Like
we finally have walls, so.
Yeah. We have some good well water, some water pressure. We've just been chugging down the well water. My mom got us this really cool, like, ice maker, pellet ice maker that just sits on the counter, just pumps out just ice all day long. Yeah. So good. But yeah, thanks for letting us share all this with you guys. And thanks to those of you who are still listening. Yeah, it's a huge piece of our like journey, a huge piece of our heart. That's like feels, you know, like we've made it.
Yeah, completed here. It.
Yeah. Well, maybe we can finish the dome for, I mean, eventually we'll be able to say like it is done. House is done, you know.
I would say we're 95% finished?
95?
At least 90, right?
I would say 90, because like not having an indoor bathroom or kitchen complete is kind of a big deal, you know.
All we have left is the indoor bathroom, the laundry room, and the cover for
the kitchen area inside. I mean, like, the sink, the cabinets, that kind of stuff.
But I think that stuff will get done this week. Okay. And then the
laundry room and the garage.
The garage.
Like, completed. Like, it's all open right now.
Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah, so I think we're about 90%. Yeah, you're probably better. More 90 than 95.
Yeah, 90s, I think.
Yeah.
Pushing it a little.
But. Yeah. But we have a lot of cool material for this season.
Yeah.
I mean, like, yeah, I like to have an episode on the solar panels.
Mm-hmm.
Been fascinated by that technology.
Mm-hmm. It's really cool. Off-grid.
We can talk about just the experience of from beginning to end, the whole building experience.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the good things and the bad things of building a dome,
building a custom house,
you know. We don't want to paint it as a rosy picture. There was some challenges.
But compared to a lot of other people's stories here, it wasn't anything like bad people or
all,
anything like
yes,
that. You
yeah,
know, it was all just like stuff kind of out of our...
Stuff we didn't know what to expect. But as far as like people, we got very fortunate.
Yeah.
We heard some horror stories from other people.
Really bad stories. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean... There's a lot of stuff we can talk about.
Yeah, I think season 3 will be fun, and sharing our our kind of steps that we're taking to expand our farm, like our plans for the farm, the permaculture vision, the regenerative animal vision,
the cattle,
the dairy vision. Yeah, the cattle / dairy vision.
I went to Paraguay and I was motivated to start a dairy again, like make a fancy.
Oh, make a fancy dairy.
Make a fancy dairy.
Yeah, I think we'll probably land somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like we want milk for ourselves, obviously. If we're going to milk one cow for us, might as well milk a few and share it.
Freestyle born 1,000 cows.
Anyways, we have episodes in the last two seasons with our about our cows, about why we chose a dome home, about kind of like dome progress episodes. So if you're interested in any of that, you can just go back through some of the older episodes and check those out. And I most of the time have them titled like dome home series or like farm series or kind of like life update series. So it kind of gives you an idea of, you know, if you're interested in just specific things. But yeah, I think we'll end it there. This was kind of long, but it was the first episode of this season, and it was also, you know, about a really big deal. All right, guys, thanks again for listening, and we will be back next week.
Yep.
Ciao.
Adios.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode. We'll see you next time on the Panna Familia podcast.